Blog Talk Radio.
I'm guessing you have your mute button on.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on June 7th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well today. I had my hopes up this past weekend with the nice weather we had that we might avoid June gloom altogether, but no such luck.
No. It is going to be kind of going sideways late.
Yeah, they said next weekend, this coming weekend, that it was going to warm up again, that during the week it would be a little grayer and chillier, but by the weekend they said it's supposed to heat up again, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. All right. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So these are really exciting times. What have you been doing lately, Jackie?
Have you heard rumors? I got invited. Have you heard of AR?
Augmented reality?
Yes, I knew you would know it. Yes. And have you heard of HADO? HADO?
No.
No. Okay. All right. So I got invited to demo this AR thing. It's from Japan, I guess, originally. I had them explain to me, HADO is trademarked. I don't even know how to explain that. But anyway, they've opened up a space in Hermosa Beach. And last week I went down there. They invited me down for a demo. And it was funny because when they explained it to me on the phone, I said, instead of me doing it, I said, would it be all right if I brought a couple of teenagers with me? And, you know, and I could just watch, because I explained that I get a little queasy with 3D and VR.
Yeah.
And they said, sure. But unfortunately, it was during the day, kids are in school, and finals. It was finals week. So I couldn't get any kids to come with me. So I went down by myself. And they're located in is it still called the Hermosa Pavilion? That big structure around PCH, just
sure.
I don't know if it's still called that.
Right.
That's what it was called originally, Hermosa Pavilion. So they're located in there. They have a space on the first floor, and it's a big room, and it's like a court, you know. And at each end of the room, they have these. They're temporary walls with like screens on them. And a little smaller than a volleyball court, no net. And you I think the traditional format is three people on each team. So three people stand on one side, three people stand on the other side, and you wear an AR headset. And what that means is that when you put the headset on, it's not you're not just enclosed in your own little world. You can see everything in front of you, but there are images superimposed on the screen. So you can see the other your teammates and the other team players. And then they strap an iPhone, a smartphone to your wrist, and on the screen you can adjust the power settings for your energy balls and your shields. What it is, it's like a virtual game of dodgeball.
Yes.
Where are you familiar with this?
I haven't seen it before. I'm actually watching a game being played right now, and I see it's like it's a tennis match, but only with energy pods that you're throwing.
Right.
Kind of.
It's not actual pods or balls or any or shields. It's all augmented. It's all augmented reality.
Right.
And
right.
So
right.
I played one on one with the guy there, and boy, it was fun. And it was a workout. It was a workout because it is just like dodgeball. You're dodging and weaving, only without the ball and the bruises, right?
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun. And I guess this is a huge thing in Asia, and I guess they've opened, this is their third location, I think, in the United States. Anyway, they're now offering demos to for team building, for event planners, you know, for anybody that might be interested in having a Hado event, a Hado gaming experience at an event. So,
right.
Yeah. So I knew you'd be interested in it. So, if you wanted to stop by, I'm sure you could go in and check it out. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I guess what's interesting is obviously the players are very intimately involved, but they can show spectators the superimposed image, so the spectators can actually see what the players see, and that's really exciting.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they have a big screen there where audience, people that aren't playing that are just watching can see what's going on screen, even though the people are right in front of them. You know, it's like the people in front of them are moving around, and we're throwing things that aren't there, and we're putting up shields that you can't see in real life. But if you look at the screen, you can watch what's going on.
Right.
It's very cool. Yeah.
Wow. I think this is going to be big. I mean, I think the reason it can be big is because the facilities that you need are really just a big open space.
Well, here's the other thing. They can go on location. They can take
right.
the game and go on location. So I think the only limitation is they can't do it outdoors unless it's like covered like a tent or something, because the light, I guess they need those screens, the big screens that they have on the field to make it work. So it has to be covered in some way. It can't be exposed to sunlight. But they can take it on the road. And what they're doing is, again, this Hado, there are different companies, and this company is called MeLeap USA, and MeLeap puts together teams for these Hado competitions. And they, big competitions. Like you go to like other parts of the world to do these competitions. So
yes.
MeLeap USA, the company now in with their facility in Hermosa, they are now recruiting teams.
Wow.
So whether you come in as an existing team or you come in as an individual, they can set you up on a team. So, I just posted the info on my weekend guide today. And then I think tomorrow I posted some video of when I was there. So, and some contact information. So people will be interested, I think. I think it'll be very interesting.
After I've seen it, I have, Jackie, I have the perspective that young kids don't have. I see this as the Pong of augmented reality. Remember Pong?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where you're just batting a ball across to right, left to right across the screen.
Right.
It was the first major video game, and it was much more successful, I think, than people realize, but it was so simple. This one is very simple. They will get better. They will get more involving. Wow.
Yeah, and as
I
said, you're active. You know, it's a workout. You know, it's physical. I mean,
right.
As I said, you're not getting bruised up or anything. But and I've seen some of the videos they sent me, and you know, the teams are, you know, they have matching outfits. You know, and very you know, it's very Japanese. It's very Japanese. You know, the gaming world and anime and all that is very big there. And so anyway, yeah. So I wanted to tell you about that. You might want to go by and check it out.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right.
Well, I am excited about augmented reality. I'm also excited about reality.
actual reality.
Actual reality. And we've talked about this many times, I think, that, you know, if you want to see a good play or if you want to see a good live performance, for the longest time we'd have to go, you know, to the West Side, to Hollywood or to Santa Monica to see something really, you know, amazing. But now these experiences, you know, not only have been in the South Bay a long time and we just didn't know about it, but there are more and more and more of them coming to the South Bay. And we're going to talk about a group that's been here in the Southern Los Angeles, South Bay region of Los Angeles for quite a long time. It's amazing. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Stam Hill and Peter Neuschel from the South Bay Coastliners. A barbershop harmony chorus based in Redondo Beach, this 50-member men's chorus is a charitable organization renowned for its commitment to community service and philanthropy. Stam and Peter write the scripts for the annual show, and the secret to their success isn't talent, it's Peter's stash of scotch. Now, a typical script meeting involves brainstorming while indulging in Peter's wonderful libations. Neither thinks of themselves as great playwrights, and no one in the chorus thinks they're great actors. They're just a group of men doing their best to entertain an audience. Now, this year, they decided to try something different. So instead of having the show in a theater, they would recreate a real speakeasy for four performances of the Golden Globe-nominated motion picture Scarface, an action-packed gangster musical at the Polyester Club on June 9th and 10th and June 16th and 17th with matinees at 2 and evening shows at 7. Now, for additional information and ticket purchase, you can visit the website at coastliners.org. So, Joe, this morning we're going to learn more about the Coastliners, their service to the South Bay community, and Scarface the musical. Joe, this sounds like a hoot. Pete, Stam, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jackie.
Well, it's quite amazing how many of these groups there are in the South Bay that we run across throughout the years that, you know, maybe we haven't personally been involved with, but have been here for quite some time. The Coastliners have been in business for quite some time. Peter, tell us about, do you know about it, or Stam? Who knows the most about the history of the
Coastliners? Coastliners started in 1947, I think.
Who's
and
this speaking?
This is Peter.
Peter, tell us.
Yeah. We started in 1947. Been going every year since. So we're part of a large organization called the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, and it turns out the world, and it is the world's largest men's singing organization. There's, I think, about 30-some thousand members in the United States and probably another 20,000 or so all over the world.
Is that the Barbershop Harmony Society?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Barbershop Harmony Society. Wow.
Yeah, 2 years ago, we were renamed to that.
Oh, well, Stan, this organization, they have a separate website. They, Peter was saying, they are an umbrella organization. Do you guys go to conventions or anything like that, Stan?
Well, our individual members go. Our chorus isn't really competing at that level to actually go to the national conventions, but a lot of our members go just for the enjoyment of seeing great quartets and choruses singing.
My quartet went, I think, 20 times.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess you have had some. what was the best finish that you guys had, Peter?
Well, we were second twice, and I think we're the top medalists one through five, and we were medalists seven times, and we were in the top ten,
okay,
I think 19 times.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. I thought you were going to say, 19th or 20th or I don't know. But you guys were number two?
Yeah, we were. We've traveled all over the world doing this, so I think we missed.
Right?
We were in every state except, I think, West Dakota and East of Virginia or someplace like that. But we did that. We sang in every place in Canada. We went to England several times. We even went to Russia. In fact, I met my wife in England singing when we were over there singing. She had a quartet with me. We met on the show there.
Wow.
Okay. That begs the question. Because in the intro, I mentioned it's an all-men's quartet, and barbershop quartets have traditionally been men, but you met your wife singing at one of these competitions. So
because there's a men's organization and there's also a women's organization.
Ah, okay. In the same format, like barbershop quartets, or what are they called?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, it's the
okay.
same. And then
yeah,
they're
the Sweet Adelines.
Oh,
Sweet Adelines.
Adeline.
I've actually heard
yeah,
of that.
And another thing that Peter hasn't said, but because he's probably too modest, is that the Society has a publication, and his quartet, the 139th Street Quartet, was listed as one of the top 10 quartets that never won gold. And also one of the quartets actually changed the Society by the way that they were singing. A lot of what they did, one reason they didn't get the gold is they broke a lot of the rules, which today you can do. So they were kind of a groundbreaking quartet.
That's interesting. So basically, your group is the Susan Lucci of men's choruses. You got to get nominated. You got to make it about 19 times before they'll finally give you something. That's interesting because, I watched a movie recently. It was one of the ones up for an Oscar this year. The one about the skater. Joe, help me out. What was her name? Tonya Harding? The movie was called I, Tonya. And it was interesting because it was interesting and I knew nothing about this. I mean, I recall when that whole episode happened, during the Olympics, but her style of skating was not what they normally did. I guess they were professional competitive ice skaters. Women were much more feminine and dainty and more ballet, and she came out and burst onto the scene, and she was very athletic. And even though technically I guess she was better than all the other skaters because of her style. She wasn't taking, you know, first, you know, or second or whatever. They as good as she was, they were like, yeah, no, this isn't how you do it. And she literally changed the face of figure skating. So is that what you're talking about when you say that Peter changed the way they view?
No, not exactly. I was going to say, you know, you've probably seen my quartet on television. Do you ever remember seeing a barbershop quartet on Cheers?
Oh my, that's coming back.
Yeah, well, we were on Cheers.
Sure.
Several times. Huh?
Several times. Okay.
Yeah,
we were on 70s television several times. 80s television several times. Okay.
Must watch TV Thursday night. I think that was the first one. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hasn't everybody seen Cheers?
Yes, I think someone has seen Cheers somewhere on the earth every day of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's still being shown. Anyhow. I think that in all of these, any kind of competition you want, the important thing is to, and what Tonya Harding did, she went in and did what she did, and then you take whatever lumps they want to give you. If you give in and you try to do what everybody else wants you to do, that's not being an artist, is it? That's just being a draftsman and doing what somebody else tells you to do. So we just did whatever would amuse us, and then that was that. And we always were in the top 10. So who could ask for more than that?
What you're saying, though, Peter, is that there was a way that you guys could have changed your style to be more competitive?
Sure, but we probably wouldn't have placed as high.
Most people that are listening to this, though, don't know anything about the different styles and competition. So can you take us through that just as quickly or as detailed as you want to, and we'll see how it works. But I want to know, what is a down the pipe, straight down the line, successful style performance for barbershop, and what's kind of cutting edge and that might not be scored as high? What are the differences?
Well, it changes around. So, for example, we were getting penalized because we sang a lot of unusual combinations of chords, and we sang a lot of things where the baritone sang very high and the tenor sang, you know, super high, and they didn't like that. Today, if you don't have that, you're not going to win. So it's just an evolving, all these sorts of things that you're talking about skating, they basically evolve. So at the time of Tonya Harding, if you couldn't do a triple loop, if you couldn't do a triple loop, you had to do that. And then she did a quadruple or whatever she did, but she advanced that spin one more time. Well, gee, that isn't in the rules, so they don't give you extra points for that. But today, if you can't do it, you don't have a chance. So
right.
It's just a matter of all of these things evolving.
Right. That's interesting.
People.
Well, you know how I'm always saying, Joe, that people in general don't like change, but organizations that have been around for a while, they really don't like change.
No kidding. Mm. Try ballroom dancing, for example.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're trying to maintain a tradition, they think, and they think that you have to, you know, somehow be pay homage to the past, but I want to highlight both of these organizations and make sure that people can find them. One place to go is barbershop.org, And then, of course, for the Sweet Adelines, it's Sweet, A-D-E-L-I-N-E-S, sweetadelines.com for Sweet Adelines International and Barbershop, what is it called? It's the
Barbershop Harmony Society.
Yeah, barbershop.org. Well,
you know,
what were you going to say, Peter?
I forgot. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, Joe, as in anything, if you're not involved in, or a family member isn't involved in something like this, you know, chorus singing, barbershop quartet, you don't know about it. You know, it's
right.
You don't, if you don't know, so if you're not involved, if somebody you know well isn't involved, you don't know about it. And it reminds me of, again, another movie that was out a few years ago. What was it? Pitch Perfect or something. It was about of
yes.
girls in college that were singing in an a cappella group. And it's so
right.
funny. I just stumbled across it. I stumbled across it like last year sometime. I had never seen it. And I stumbled across it, and I was watching it, and they're going to all these competitions, and, you know, there's the big competition, the nationals, whatever. And I was like, I wonder if people really do this, if this really exists. And it does. It does. It's just that
right.
I think that it exists way more than you know.
Yeah.
We put on the Los Angeles version of a national a cappella contest every year. And probably, I would guess that every single college in the country has a cappella groups that you sing. So, I mean, it's big. It's very big. But it's completely under the radar.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. You're right. And it is under the radar. And speaking of that, somebody has sent me the last few years the information on those contests, because you've had some locally, and I've posted the information. So it's like you become aware of these things through different means. You know, I don't know anybody who sings them. Well, now I do, but I've been aware of that now for a couple of years. But there's all this stuff that flies under the radar that, again, unless you have some form of exposure to it, you're just not going to know about it. It's interesting.
But here in the United States, there's something for everybody. And if you happen to be into, I don't know what, toenail clipping, there's probably a national organization of toenail clippers someplace out there.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
everything exists. Whatever it is you want to do,
yeah.
somebody else wants to
yeah.
do it.
So I can see you guys are very – there are many, many, many different organizations out there singing. And, of course, I don't want to forget, we'll have to mention this many times, for more people to get involved locally, you can find the Coastliners at Coast, L-I-N-E-R-S, coastliners.org, coastliners.org. So – Peter, tell me.
Wait, Joe, before we go on, let's do a quick station break, and then we'll come back. And I want to get all the details on this show that they're doing this year, Scarface, the musical, which just sounds hysterical to me. So let's do a station break right now. And I love it. I love it. All right, Joe?
Yes, indeed. Let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the South Bay Show, as I guess you have the habit of doing. Thank you very much. And our guests today are involved with an amazing organization, coastliners.org, coastliners.org. Peter Neuschel and Stam Hill are with us today, and they're going to help us understand what barbershop singing and chorus singing is like, and how you can get involved potentially. And that's what I really want to get into in the second half, is involving and getting the next generation involved so we can have these things continue. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Jackie? Scarface.
Yeah, Scarface the musical. I love that. Peter, Stam, which of you wants to tell us about how you came up with this concept, what it entails, how many times did you have to watch the movie to get the lines? How do you incorporate some of those classic lines into a musical? I'm dying to hear about this.
We don't actually. We don't actually. We wrote the thing about Al Capone taking over a speakeasy in New York, which he didn't do, but we thought it was amusing, so we went with that.
Oh, so it's not Tony Montana and say hello to my little friend?
Oh yeah, of course. There's some of that, but it's a. What we're trying to do is make it so that it's an actual, what it would have felt like to go into an actual real speakeasy in New York in the 20s, because there was something like between 20,000 and 100,000 speakeasies in New York during Prohibition. So we really tried to recreate that. So we have it in a warehouse, and we have a 18-piece big band, and we have the chorus, and we have quartets, and we have all the stuff going on. People are seated at tables, and there are drinks, and all of that. And then this silly play that goes as sort of the one of the things that we thought would be really an interesting thing to do is if you have an auditorium and you have a stage. Well, the audience is one place, stage is in another place. And then they say, oh, we'll have theater in the round. So you have the theater in the middle and things all around. So we're doing, this time we're doing what we call an immersion theater. So everything is all mixed up. So you're right in with the players and the actors and hopefully not too close to the band because they're very loud. So it's all sort of mixed up into one thing.
So you can actually sit there and order a cocktail. And
yeah, of course.
And,
you can order
an
Al Capone.
Al?
Have you ever heard of
him? I like.
Yeah, there's a drink called an Al Capone, and we're serving them.
Okay, well, there you go, Joe. We have to go.
All right.
I love that. I love that immersion theater. Wasn't there? There was. We did something like that, didn't we? Was it you? I don't remember. It was you. I went to something like that a while back, where it was a nightclub setting.
Yes.
And it's going right out of my mind. I can't remember what it is, but so I understand the concept. So you're coming in like you're going. Do people get dressed? Do people dress
absolutely.
In their best makeup?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have a costume contest, and the winner gets a gold star and a cookie or something. I don't know what they get, but we do have a contest. So everybody should come dressed up in their finest duds, their best 1920s flapper look. You can't have a cookie, but you can have a piece of pie, which we're serving at intermission. We're serving pie.
A piece of pie.
It sounds like there's a lot going on. You said the orchestra, the chorus, some quartets.
Yeah.
And are there, so are there individual actors saying lines, or
yeah.
is it more of a singing
yeah.
thing? Like one?
No, no, there's individual actors. And we even have, in the 20s, there was a famous set of twins. They were conjoined twins, and they were called the Hilton sisters. So we have the Hilton sisters. We have conjoined twins on our show. Only we're calling them the Blister sisters. So
okay, now
yeah.
there's something you don't see every day.
So we have conjoined twins. we have a camel. We have everything. It's all hilarious. This is silly.
Did you say camel?
A camel, yes,
yes,
of course. Not a real camel, but a camel, yeah.
One hump or two?
Two. It's a Bactrian. No, yeah, it's a Bactrian camel, in fact, yes.
Okay. Wow.
It's just silliness, you know. I mean, it's all in good fun, and it's good for a laugh. That's all I can tell you.
It sounds like more fun than a barrel of monkeys. So where do you guys, like, I'm sure you have to practice and have dress rehearsal, and where do you do all this? Because it takes time.
Oh, yeah, it takes a year to put this thing together. We meet at the Salvation Army in Redondo Beach every Wednesday night, and we sing there. And we do a lot of community concerts, and I mean, we sing around the community a lot, and we go to conventions, and we're quite busy. In fact, we have an ice cream social coming up, to which is free. It's in August, I think. And we'll have a couple of choruses. We'll have the international championship chorus on that show, on that. But don't ask me anything more because I don't know.
You don't know the details. You don't know the details of it yet.
Well, yeah, if you go on coastliners.org, you can find all that information.
All right. Well, this
coastliners.org.
Show that we're talking about now, Scarface the Musical, is going to be at the Polyester Club in Carson on June 9th and 10th and June 16th and 17th. There's two shows a day, one at 2 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. And we mentioned the website a couple of times, coastliners.org. Now, getting back to what I was talking about earlier about being exposed to different groups and activities like this, I saw on your website that the group is everywhere from 18 to 80 years old. Where do your younger recruits come from?
I don't know. I think what happens, I do have a theory, however, I'll tell you my theory. So when I was 16 years old, a friend of mine took me to a show, a barbershop show, and I saw it, and I came home raving about it, and I was talking about it. My dad said, "Oh, well, there's a group that sings right here in Redondo Beach," and so I went down there and started singing, and the rest is history, of course. But so it's a blood disease of some sort. You know, if you're like a chord nut and you sing, some of you go down there and you sing a song with somebody, you go, "Okay, I want to do this," and then you're hooked forever. So there's a lot of high school programs and things that people come in through that.
I
had a similar experience.
Oh, go ahead. Tell us that.
Yes, I had a friend who was joining the Sweet Adelines, and I thought, wow, I wonder if there's a men's organization like that. And it just so happened the Coastliners were performing in Hermosa that week, so I decided to go see the show. And I thought, wow, this is, the greatest thing. I always loved the Buffalo Bills and the Music Man. And so I just went to one of their meetings, and they were really very friendly, and it was fun. So I decided to join. And that was in 2002.
I think that one of the things about it is that about the organization is nobody cares about anything. They don't care who you are or how much money you make or anything. The only thing they care about is, can you sing your part? And that's it. So we get quartets put together of completely strange sorts of things. Like a few years ago, we had a quartet that was made up of the dean of administration for UCLA Medical School and a computer guy and another guy that was perpetually unemployed and I don't know, somebody else. And they got together and they sang and they had a quartet up together. So it doesn't matter who you are or, what color you are, what religion you are, or anything. Just you want to sing. That's
as long as you can hit the notes is the important thing, right?
Well, to some of us. Not to everybody, but
or at least hit most of the notes. You don't. I definitely don't hit all of them.
That's You find that in other, you find that in most groups, you know, when there's something specific like that, again, things that most people aren't aware of, you know, on a day-to-day basis, as I said, unless they get exposure to it, it's a mixed group of people with one common interest. And I love that.
Yep.
Right.
It's true.
Right. And what a common interest. I mean, it's not just music. It's also, you know, creative drama. It's like almost like Second City almost, because when you guys get together and work on the scripts, I imagine those are some very creative times.
Yeah, I think the other thing that happens is that Stan and I sort of put together the outline. I mean, we get together and go, what's the stupidest thing we can think of, you know? And then we go, oh, let's do a show on that. And then we get together. But once we start doing the show, everybody, just about everybody in the chorus adds something. And somebody will say, hey, why don't we do this? And I have a great idea. And why don't you, you know, rip that guy's clothes off over there, and why don't you set this guy's hair on fire? And we go, oh, what a great idea. We'll go do that. So everybody adds to the thing. So there's no big ego involvement and copyright involvement and all that kind of stuff on who writes it and who says what and who has what line. So it's pretty democratic.
It sounds like ridiculousness abounds.
Yeah. I think that what happens is that, especially in amateur groups, like, you know, the amateur dramatic groups, is that a lot of the people in those groups think that they're in show business. And we don't, even though some of us are. So where do you go to see a thing that says, okay, everybody's here, they're having a really good time, and they're not putting on airs, and they're just doing the really fun stuff, and there's some really good singing going on, and I mean really, really good singing going on, and some not so wonderful, but mostly pretty good, you know, and some really excellent stuff. So where do you go to do something that's so feckless? You know, you just, there's no ego is involved in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we did a show a few years ago called The Pirates of Pontsenay, which was kind of a parody of Pirates of the Caribbean. And we had a reviewer come for our dress rehearsal, and the review she gave was basically saying, if you want to see great drama, don't come. But if you want to have a really good time, this is the place to go. And it's because our stuff isn't ever going to go to Broadway, but had this been 100 years ago, it's the type of thing that would have been on vaudeville. So it's closer to a vaudeville show than it is to Les Miserables or something like that.
I can see that.
So
I can see that
being the kind of show that was in every town, in every hamlet, every little town had a vaudeville show, because, or a vaudeville act could go to any random town and find a theater in which to perform, because everyone knew, oh, there's a new vaudeville act in town, let's check it out.
Yes,
these things now are more organized. Go on. Go on, Stan.
Yeah, it was, you know, when you left the vaudeville show, you just felt really happy. And that's hopefully what our audiences feel. And they seem to, with the comments we get after the show. Actually, every time we have a show, they seem to say, oh, this is the best show yet, which makes us wonder, well, what kind of shows did we have in the past? Weren't they that good?
Okay. Everyone's a critic,
well,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody is a critic. Well, let me ask you something. You mentioned that your group meets down at the Salvation Army facility down on, I think it's Barrel.
Yeah.
Now, so you have a meeting every week. Now, does all 50 members show up and Are you broken off into different groups in the corners, singing all at like your own thing at the same time, or do you do a whole group? How does that work?
The answer to that is all of the above.
All of the above. Okay.
Yeah, so we do have a regular chorus rehearsal starting at 7:30, and then we go till about 9:45, and then we go over to Hermosa Brewery, and we have a beer, and people sing until they close the place down. So you'll find quartets standing in corners singing, sometimes at the big conventions, it'll go all night and it'll go till the next morning. People sing all night. So a lot of times, like on Sunday, on the last show, we have the show and then we have an afterglow after that. And then it'll end up, sometimes there'll be parties after that. Who knows when it ends, but it just goes until people can't sing anymore.
So what you're saying is Wednesday nights, after you have your practice, you all go over to Hermosa Brewery and hang out there and have beers and sing?
Yeah, of course.
And what do the other patrons think of that? Or is it open just for you? I mean, how does that work?
No. Mostly, I think, mostly people are so not ready. They're so shocked when, we walked in the day they opened. We walked into the place and it was like 15 or 20 of us. And we sang a song and everybody in the place, their jaws dropped because they can't believe it. People can just sit around with no instruments and make music, and they're stunned by it. So,
wow!
Right.
Does this happen? Does this happen every Wednesday night?
Yep. Every Wednesday.
Wow. Okay. Well, anybody listening, I mean, that would be a fun way to spend a Wednesday evening. Head over to Hermosa Brewery and have a beer and listen to some impromptu singing.
Yeah,
I love that. I'm surprised
about,
I haven't heard about
it.
About 10 o'clock. Yeah, it's a school night. It's a school night, but go ahead.
Don't bring the kids.
Hermosa Brewery is supplying the beer for the show.
Oh,
how's that for a plug?
Well,
that's strange. They must have a lot of beer there.
Yes, a brewery. I would guess. Yeah,
I would hope they would have a lot of beer. speaking of Hermosa Brewery, do you have any other sponsors or anything that you want to give a little shout out to? Because we love our sponsors. We like to give them as credit. No, okay.
We don't do anything. Hermosa Brewery, I just said that because they're not sponsoring us, but we just go over there and we like their beer. And they said, yeah, we'll supply the beer for your show. So he said, okay, you're on. So,
all right. I like it.
So that's all you guys need is beer and you'll go anywhere and do a show?
We'll sing for beer. That's it.
We'll sing for nothing, actually, a lot of the times. Just for the joy of it.
Well, I mean, it does sound amazing. I mean, it does sound, more people need to go to Hermosa Brewery on Wednesday nights around 10. That's what it sounds like.
They can come to the Salvation Army and listen or sing. I mean, that's what happens. People come in and somebody shoves a piece of music and then they say, I can't read music. And they say, well, you can read words, can't you? And they say, yeah. Okay, well, read the words and sing what the guy next to you is singing. Okay. So most of the guys don't read music. And, we learn everything by rote. So you're welcome to come down and sing.
You're just throwing them into the deep end of the pool.
Absolutely.
Anyone can come to any of our rehearsals and either sit there and listen or join in. That's what I did after the show. We had a guest night normally 2 weeks after the show, and I came to the guest night. But really, every Wednesday is guest night, so anyone who can come right in and either just listen or join in.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we don't have any agenda, so we don't. You know, we do charitable things, but we don't exist for anything other than singing, which is good for your health, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I've been there.
Wow.
I've been there for a number of years, and I'll tell you, the most interesting thing that I've found is that we have a lot of old members, and they die sometimes. But the men almost always outlive their wives, and I think it's because of the singing.
That's interesting.
Something deep. Yeah.
No, that's interesting because generally, you know, women outlast their husbands.
Right.
And you're saying that
singing is it's like it's exercise, but without the pesky exercise part of it. Because you have to breathe properly, and it is just exceedingly good for you from a health standpoint. So it's probably as important.
Yes,
if you sing, it's probably as important as going to the gym and working out. If you sang every few days.
What do you have?
Members that have Alzheimer's, and they can't remember hardly anything. But you go there with three other guys and start singing, and they will remember their part. It's amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing.
Okay.
I think I saw that in a movie someplace where people
maybe
suffering from dementia.
Maybe accessing a different part of their brain.
But sometimes my quartet used to sing. When we would sing on shows, we'd say, who's the oldest guy in the chapter? And we'd say, okay, we're going to sing a song with you. And we're going to sing a song for the group. And we'd go, what song do you know? And he'd go, we want to sing a song that nobody has heard before. And they'd say, oh, my Wild Irish Rose. No, it's something else. And then you'd hear this clanking of gears in their brains and rust. And they go, how about Being in the Strawberry Patch with Mary? Okay, we'll sing it. And then the guy would turn into a completely different person, be able to talk,
mm-hmm.
and act like it's
Jack,
used yep, to do.
Jack, in a minute. Jack.
And then,
mm-hmm.
and then he'd Cat. Go away, turn back into himself again. So it's amazing.
Wow, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Well, music, you know, let me ask you something. Has anybody ever come in that was very gung-ho to join your group or sing with you guys and They just had no voice. They had no ear. They couldn't hold a note.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know.
But it's sort of self-policing.
But most people actually can sing.
You know, I was watching something on TV recently, a few months ago, maybe 60 Minutes or 2020, something, and they were talking about, it was some sort of music teacher, and he was saying everybody can sing. He said everybody can sing, you know. There's no such thing as people, and it's so funny because I had that experience. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I decided to go out for the chorus, and they were having tryouts, and the musical director was in there with his piano. And we were all lined up, and it got to me, and all I was supposed to had to do was sing the scales, and I, you know, do re mi, and that's as far as I got. And he said, "Thank you so much," and that was it. That was the end of my singing career. So, you know,
if you'd started when you were a baby and your parents sang to you, you probably could have done it just fine.
Oh well,
so it's a matter of getting
If he'd given you a chance, you probably would have also because. We have had people that have come in and they, you know, they weren't very good to start with, but with practice, they actually got to be quite good singers.
So there's hope for us all.
Yeah.
In fact, some of our very best singers, when they came in, I was going, this person can't sing that part. I've turned around to some of the guys are the strongest singers in the group came in who would never have passed a rigorous audition. They wouldn't have gotten in. But because we sort of stuck with them, all of a sudden, but over a year or so, they became stronger. And then their voices became stronger and their ear became more better and they got better. And they're uh-huh. some of our mainstays now.
So you support each other. It's that people don't have to come in with, all this experience and, you know, if somebody just loves the idea of it, they can come in, they can listen to you. And if somebody comes up to you and says, I don't have any singing musical experience, but I love this and I'd love to give it a try.
Most of us come in with no experience.
Wow. Wow. I love that. I love that.
Well, it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to mention this again because we're closing in on time here.
Yes.
The South Bay Coastliners. They're going to recreate a speakeasy for 4 performances of Scarface the Musical. It sounds like a ton of fun. They're going to be at the Polyester Club in Carson on June 9th and 10th and June 16th and 17th with 2 shows daily, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 7 o'clock in the evening. Again, for more information and ticket purchase, you can visit the website at www.coastliners.org. It sounds like a super fun show. And you said you're going to have other things. There's going to be costume contest, after party. This looks like a lot of fun, doesn't it, Joe?
It does indeed. And a great evening for people to come out and have some fun. And, we just don't have enough of these kinds of, in your face, real theater, live theater kinds of experiences.
Immersive theater. Immersive theater. Peter, the Polyester Club, you said you're having this in a warehouse. Is that the name that you gave the space, the Polyester Club? There's not a real Polyester Club.
Was Stam. I'll let him tell you why it's called the Polyester Club.
Can't wait to hear this.
Yes, instead of everyone has heard of the Cotton Club in New York. And we just decided to call this the Polyester Club, which is the most famous speakeasy that no one has ever heard of. And you'll find out why no one has ever heard of if you come to this show.
The Polyester Club. I didn't even put 2 and 2 together. That's funny.
It gets worse when you get to the show. It gets cornier than that. So.
Oh, no, this is great. I love this. Joe, you want to take us home here?
We are so thrilled to have these guys with us today. Do you just want us to give out coastliners.org? Is that the only link, Peter and Stan?
No, I think you can go to Coastliners Ticks or something like that. I don't know. We go to coastliners.org and it says order tickets and you just press on that.
Yeah. Yeah, you click on that and it goes to coastliners.ticks.com, but coastliners.org, that's where everyone should
they can go to the Ticks too. They can go to the Ticks number too. Okay. That both of those will get you there.
Okay. Peter Neuschel.
The coastliners.org
thank
have
you
all
for joining
the information.
Yes, it does.
Thank you,
thank you, Peter, for joining us today. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Stam.
Thank you, Joe and Jackie.
Thank you. And thank you, Jackie. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thank you. And sometimes I put myself on mute, and I don't mean to do it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be mean. I just hit the mute button. But it was a great discussion, gentlemen, and we look forward to seeing you guys soon at the Coastliners. June 9 and 10, and June 16 and 17 that weekend, 2 p.m. and a 7 p.m. show. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.